The book of Luke, chapter 2, in just a moment we'll stand and we'll read the first seven verses. But Ken Ham, president of Answers in Genesis, asked this question in last year's May issue, last year's 2018. And he asked the question, what was the most important thing that left Noah's Ark? What was the most important thing? Now, all of us believe that the mosquitoes didn't have to leave. But what was the most important thing? Now, some would say horses because they like horses. And my wife is into butterflies, and she would say, well, butterflies. But what was the most important thing? And then he answers by saying the line of Christ, which came through Shem. That was the most important thing that left, that when they came off the ark, that Shem and his wife came off the ark, and through them came the line in which Jesus Christ would be born. If you're able, please stand with us as we read from the book of Luke chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this time of the year that we celebrate your birth. And though we realize, Lord, that you were not born in December, we are glad that we can remember what was done on our behalf. Lord, we pray for each one that is here today. Lord, we pray that you would have your hand of blessing upon them, that your will would be done in their lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. With thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Why Christmas? Why did Jesus have to leave his throne in heaven? The answer is found in 12 simple words. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All have sinned. Jesus said to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, John 3:16 and 17. There is only one way into heaven. And though there may be thousands of religions, there is still only one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Jesus said that he is the door. And one that tries to enter into heaven through another door is a robber and a thief. So why Christmas? Well, the fact of the matter is we need a Savior. The fact of the matter is at this time of year, that people hear the songs of faith and they are without excuse. The other day, my wife and I went over to the Meadowbrook Hall to watch the Christmas Carol, and maybe you saw one this year either on television or at a place like we were at. And when we were there at the Meadowbrook Hall, before the program began, a number of the cast were out singing songs. And though they sang some what you would call holiday songs, they also sang songs of faith. Joy to the world and come all ye faithful. And the fact of the matter is you hear these words, you realize there is a need that we have and that need is satisfied through Jesus Christ. Amen. The last song of our program by the choir was Our Great Savior. It is not listed as a Christmas song, but the words to me fit the Christmas theme. The first verse is, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Are you a sinner? Yes. The fact of the matter is, Jesus loves you anyways. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. I mean, I'm glad that he loves me and I'm a sinner. The Apostle Paul said he was the chief of sinners. I don't think he was. But the fact of the matter is, all of us are sinners and we deserve to die and go to hell. But Jesus provided a way of salvation. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Lover of my soul. And the song continues, friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. Have you accepted that gift that he offers? Amen. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll be honest with you. I still have one gift I still need to wrap for my wife, but I bought her something when it came pre-wrapped. Isn't that nice? And it's in a little silver box. You have kind of an idea what it might be. Yeah, well, it's in a little silver box. But let me ask you this. What would happen if I said to Donna, here, this is for you? Now, she's not going to do this. But what if she said, I'll open it later? And she could, right? She could say, I'll open it later. And what if a week comes and goes and she hasn't opened that gift and it's still sitting there on the counter and I ask her, are you going to open the gift? And she goes, later. Wow. Okay. What if a month comes and goes? What if a month comes and goes and it's still sitting there on the counter? Take it back. Aren't we glad that Jesus doesn't take it back? Thank you. You're going to think that I paid him to say that, but I really didn't. But a month is come and gone, and the gift is still sitting unwrapped on the counter. What would you think? You would feel bad for me. Yeah. You'd think she was ungrateful, right? What if a year comes, and it's still sitting there? I mean, I can't return it now. It's been a year. Yeah. What if it's 5 years? You know, some of you have been offered the gift many times and the gift is still sitting on the counter because you've never opened it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you don't take the gift, you can't get eternal life. And the gift has been offered over and over and over again. And many people, too many people, have left it sitting on the counter, still wrapped, still sitting there, still sitting there. A number of years ago, the Joneses gave us a gift, and it was so nicely wrapped that I was very careful to get the top off. It was so nice. If you come to our house, that gift package is under our tree. It's how we decorate. It's with that package. But the gift has long been taken out. Long ago. Let me ask you this. Do you have that gift that Jesus Christ offers? The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 tells us it's an unspeakable gift. Have you accepted that unspeakable gift? We're going to read now what our brother read a little bit earlier when Brother Wutke read from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angels of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Do you find it interesting that the angels came to shepherds? What did John the Baptist call Jesus? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 10 says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, notice, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Is there something that you would really like to open on Wednesday? Is there some gift that you're hoping that your husband or your wife or your mother or your sons or daughters, is there a special gift you're hoping would be there? You know what I would like to find? A BMW in my garage with a big ribbon on it. Would that be wrong? It would be impossible. Nuts. But is there some special gift you'd like to get? What could be more special than salvation? What would be more special than to receive eternal life in heaven with the God of the universe? And yet how many people, their eyes are blinded to the fact that they need that special gift. He is the Savior of our soul. And yet many people believe there are other things that are of more importance. It says here, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Abraham was told that through his line there would be something that would bless all the people of the world. And it is now being fulfilled. Jesus Christ has come. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, what? A Savior. We need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not education. It's good to have education. It's not politics, political leaders. They're not the gift. May I say, it's not money. Money is not that gift that we need. It's not our Savior. May I say this, that what we need is one that can forgive us of our sins and cancel the sin debt. He has ransomed our soul. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Have you ever volunteered for something? And maybe you were glad you did, or maybe you wished you hadn't. But do you wonder how many angels volunteered to go sing? I mean, if God the Father said, hey, I want some volunteers to go announce that Jesus, God the Son, has been born, I need some volunteers. You think there were some that said, I don't have time? I think every angel in the host said they would go. Now, I don't think they all went, but a host went. And we're not told how many, but they volunteered to go sing and to praise and announce our coming Savior. And they said, glory to God in the highest. Can I tell you something? that our salvation is better than the Detroit Lions winning the next 10 Super Bowls in a row? How many of you believe the Lions can win the next 10 Super Bowls in a row? I'm exaggerating just a tad. They could win 2 in a row. Okay, but let's say they won the next 10. And the Detroit Red Wings won the next 10 Stanley Cups. And the Detroit Pistons won the next 10 NBA championships. And the Tigers won the World Series 10 years in a row. Would you think that's mighty good? Now, I know it's impossible. But the gift of salvation is of more value. Of more value. It's more valuable than if you were to win the lottery. And I'm not saying you should gamble, but I'm saying if you, you know, hypothetically, if someone gave you a lottery ticket for Christmas and you won $44 million, which is of more value? The $44 million or your salvation? Your salvation is. It's priceless. It's priceless. And Jesus Christ offers it to you for what? Free. For free. All you have to do is take it. To take that unspeakable gift. Have you, my friend, taken that gift? Have you unwrapped it? And have you proclaimed it is the greatest of gifts? Shall we stand together? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The songs have proclaimed it. Our thoughts have proclaimed it. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Do you know Christ as your Savior? And if so, are you serving him because of that great gift? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now your hand upon our invitation time. Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had together. But Lord, now as we have the invitation, Lord, if someone today doesn't know thee as Savior, Lord, would they be willing to do that today? We ask that your Spirit would move. And Lord, if there's one that has forgotten how great it is, Lord, may you remind them that this is a special gift, not to be taken lightly. Lord, may the Spirit moved. May the hearts be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and again with thanksgiving. Amen.